Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Do you want to get your message heard? Sheffield Live is a
with low advertising
radio
rates and great and sponsorship opportunities.
Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people.
Sheffield Live on the air.
Get your campaign on
Sheffield
Live
by writing to friends.
To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to
or go online
advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Calling our dancers, let's put on our dancing shoes.
Do you like Sheffield
Live? And the barbecue real cool, it's good for
you. Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live?
Sounds
Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org. Or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
1-2-1-2, how's it going? This is Sean, and you're listening to Sean.
Sheffield Live.
Yeah, welcome to Sweet Talking Sport. It's the 2nd of January, you know, 2026, you know. This date will never come again. 2026 is another way to say this. Sweet Talking Sport is the radio chat show presented by myself. It's straight to the point. That deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sported events, whether that's Yasso or over there, you know, or local or national. Good to go on air, expansive debate by myself and sometimes a man called Sweet G and CV Udon present. This is your regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio chat show you will ever hear. You can listen to this show every Friday, 6 till 7 GTM time. Or if you go onto the Sheffield Live website, you can, click here where it says that and you can listen to it live. So, you know, without further ado, hope nobody's listening. But if you are, please keep this show to yourself. So we're going to jump straight right in now. Not just the world of sport, but, everybody connected, you know, on the social medias, who follow boxing, who follows AJ, who follows his family and his very close friends who sadly lost their lives. It was a very, very sad Day, you know, the British heavyweight boxer AJ, was actually discharged from hospital in Nigeria only days after the fatal car accident that killed two of his very, very close friends. Former champion was deemed fit to recuperate at home. The Lagos State said in a joint statement describing him as a heavy-hearted over the loss of his dear friends. Joshua, 36-year-old, was a passenger in the Lexus SUV that collided with a stationary truck on the major expressway near Lagos on Monday just gone. And it's my understanding that that road has had some heavy work in the past. It's known as a fast kind of like road. The two men who died were Joshua's close friends and team members, Gammy, and also the other guy known as Lats. After leaving the hospital on Wednesday, you know, Britain visited the funeral home where the bodies and his friends were being prepared for reparation. The joint statement added, Ed Hearn also has promised Joshua since he's turned professional after winning gold at the 2012 Olympic, pay tribute to Joshua's close friends and teammate. Rest in peace, Lats and Sinner, posted on his Instagram. Like I said, you know, it's you know, the sporting world remain kind of like in serious kind of like serious doubt. So, you know what I mean, Joshua, very, very lucky guy to actually still be alive, and also the driver also as well. It was the offside that took the collision. You know, so yeah, that was kind of like heavy stuff there, really. You know. And yeah, very, 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 very sad to hear the loss of Joshua's friends. Really, kind of like sad.
It's incredible that people look at where humanity's going to. This is not even a social media dominant place. Nigeria, I bet, like, not even, what, 20% of people. People even have smartphones, and those 20% still decided to go and film this.
Do you want to tell me that a big boxing champion like Anthony Joshua was in a motor vehicle accident in Nigeria? Two of his friends died. And he was injured because he was in the back of the car, and that's what saved his life. But in the big 232 million people in Nigeria, in that big country, you want to tell me that you couldn't find an ambulance to bring the man to hospital?
That me, I said to you, know.
When I became a dad, I realized I can't just keep ignoring my pension.
In big Nigeria, with over 232 million people, you could not find an ambulance to bring the world boxing champion Anthony Joshua to hospital.
Now, as you can imagine, there's a number of people online sharing their opinions, sharing conspiracies. We're going to dive into a few of those videos, but I need you guys to comment down below and let me know exactly what you're thinking right about now. Everything ever since the reports came out about Anthony Joshua being involved in that deadly accident this morning on a Nigerian highway, a lot of people have a lot of concern about the cause of the accident and the timing of it as well. And another factor that keeps playing into everyone's thoughts is the fact that this comes on the heels of him securing the biggest purse of his boxing career by beating Jake Paul. Now read this headline, and then remember to keep it in the back of your mind as I discuss. The cause of Anthony Joshua's crash has been revealed after two have been killed on one of Nigeria's deadliest roads. That means that the person that was driving Anthony Joshua on that highway called Largo in Nigeria has driven that road on multiple occasions and is very, very familiar with every single turn and every single possible dangerous spot on it. That's what makes this entire point of the story even more crazier and is actually adding a little validity to what people are thinking. There was just a random crash into the back of this truck as they were making a maneuver on the...
Yeah, listen, I'm just going to just jack it up just right there. I mean, you know, just a random crash. But don't forget, you know, the car was traveling at excessive kind of like speed. So I don't buy that about, you know, conspiracy and, you know, like just a random crash, you know. You know, I mean, you know, however, I mean, they're saying that basically any speed can cause damage. I mean, low speed under 10 mile an hour can cause minor damage. Mid speed 10 to 30 mph can cause damage, and certainly high speed over 30 miles per hour. I mean, 20 mph, there's a high chance of survival. 30 mph, severely injured, maybe being killed. Over 40 mph, you're talking about fatal injuries, you know? So, you know, I'm not buying the conspiracy business in this kind of like story. Anyway, Wallace.
They were making a maneuver on the highway. Allegedly, from the reports, they were going too fast and didn't have time to react. And that accident led to the loss of two of AJ's closest friends in a tragic, horrific way. They were also traveling together in the same vehicle. And a lot of conversation has been had since the report of this accident about vehicles that have computer systems and computer systems being taken over and controlled. And then people wondering how certain accidents are happening to certain individuals at uncertain times. Now keep it in the back of your mind, this video is for entertainment purposes only. And why do I say that? Because most of the stuff that is coming out right now is unfounded by any state, local, or government officials of Nigeria. But once again, as I stated earlier, this is a tragic and horrific accident that claimed the lives of two of his closest friends. And this video should be taken for entertainment purposes only. And like anything sports related, there's a lot of alleged allegations regarding Jake Paul and his fights.
Yeah, don't even bother watch that. You know?
With a statement on X, I'll step aside once again so you can pause and read. But at the end of the day, remember to pray and say a prayer for those that lost their lives this morning in Nigeria. And pray for this man who was hospitalized with minor injuries. Hopefully he can get back into the ring and do what he does best. Let me know your thoughts in the comments.
Yeah, just going to jack it up one more time again. I mean, you know, he's saying that he's leading towards the words conspiracy, but he didn't actually really proper come up with that still. And I'm for one, certainly not buying that. I mean, you know, condolences to family and friends, anybody who know the two guys, what, you know, sadly passed away in that horrific accident. And it was an accident. Was itself conflicted, like I said, you know. You know, if you... doing over, you know, the speed limits or the restrictions, you're just asking for trouble, you know, whether that's if you're doing, I don't know, 21 in a 20 zone, you're breaking the law. You know, people used to say, oh, the police allow so much for taking over and so much over and this, that, and the other. Listen, what's the point, yeah, in having speed restrictions and saying, well, you know, if you're one or five over, it don't really matter, you can turn a blind eye. Rubbish, you know, absolutely nonsense what we're hearing. No conspiracy, it's a tragic accident.
Hopefully he can get back into the ring and do what he does best. Let me know your thoughts in the comments, and as always, I'd love to hear from you.
You know, everything is a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen, but what we have to say at this moment in time is the driver is questionable.
You know, I mean, the drive is questionable, yeah, but, you know, you've also got people in the car as well, but, you know, can say, yo, listen, Dan, just take your foot off the gas. Do you know what I mean? So it's not just the responsible of the driver. I'm sad to say this, but it's also people in the car. Do you know what I mean? You know that if you're travelling in the car and the driver's, you know, got his foot on the gas, you can just touch him and say, yo, just ease up, no? You know what I mean? You can say that you're not breaking the law. Now the guy who's driving the car, yeah, he's in control, but he's got people in the car with him. You know what I mean? To say, take time. You know, what's the rush? You know, it's better you get there late than not at all. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm having to kind of butt in there and say, yeah, you know. Driver, you know, don't just watch him.
Going to Nigeria and then this happens. Like, I've just watched how he had been pulled out of that car and it just looks so barbaric. Like, you literally don't pull someone out of the car like that.
100%.
There is a fire or anything like that, but there was just so many people crowded around that car trying to get him out. I mean, that could have caused lasting damage to him long term.
Yeah, you know, I'm with that as well, but, you know, if there's no, you know, ambulance service for miles and miles around, you know, as long as Joshua's talking and he's got his sensors and stuff, then you can wall on. You know what I mean? Because, you know, by just dragging him out, yeah, he could smash up his back and everything like that, you know? I think what kind of like also what people haven't really said, or I've not really heard anybody say this, but, you know, AJ is a big guy, works out, keeps himself in trim. And even though, yeah, he was in pain, of course he's going to be in pain after taking an impact like that. But again, that's there as a little buffer, you know?
It's certainly something that wouldn't happen like this in the UK. What's very, very tragic about this is the fact that as a result of this crash, two people have lost their lives, and this isn't a laughing matter. And there is just a lot online with all the memes already starting. It's sick, it's twisted, and people should not be doing that, because that's someone, son, uncle, you know what I mean, cousin, brother. It's not okay to behave like that at all. What I will say is Anthony Joshua was very, very lucky he was in the back seat.
Yeah, you can say that again. Yeah, very, very lucky indeed too. And you know, like I said, you know, there's people on YouTube and stuff, and, you know, posting their pictures of what they took online. And it does look very, 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 very sad. You know, but yeah, we just kind of like take a moment just to kind of reflect on AJ's kind of like close friends who, you know, sadly lost their lives. Let's take a moment. Yeah, in tune to Sweet Talking Sport. Straight to the point, Chacho. That deals with the latest sports stories. And sometimes the odd scandal also as well. Interviews. We draw an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to sport. Discussions on sporting events, whether that's local or national. Good to go on air, expansive debate. Analysts by myself and guests, sometimes G, sometimes CV. Right now they don't present. Yeah, the regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio show you'll ever hear. We're on point. Yeah. If you've just kind of like tuned in, just kind of like just missed the story of AJ and his two friends that sadly, you know, passed away. And also, like I said, just to cap that off, you know, Nigerian Traffic Compliance Enforcement said investigation show that the Lexus SUV lost control after a tyre burst of excessive speed. And I just want to back that up by saying, you know, a tyre burst can happen at any speed, however, more likely at a higher speed, especially over 50 mph. Gonna switch things up now, mix things up a little bit, and talk about, yeah, we're going to cricket. Hawaja criticizes racism and stereotypes. Australia batter Hawaja, I think that's how you pronounce his name, said he's still battling racial stereotypes as he announces retirement from international cricket. I think he's only about 39, to be honest with you. You know, he played in his 88th test in the Ashes final against England, starting on Sunday, you know, in Sydney on the ground where he made his debut against the same opponents back in 2011. Khawaja was born in Pakistan and became the first Muslim to play for Australia when he took place of Ricky Ponting at the end of England's 3-1 series win 15 years ago. Doesn't time fly? Khawaja says he's proud to be a Muslim. He kind of describes himself as a coloured boy from Pakistan. Now, I think he's kind of well out of tune by saying that I'm a proud Muslim, coloured boy from Pakistan, well out of tune with that, you know. I presume that he should have a bit more exposure, you know. And that word, they have to just bypass him and give him a blight, you know, because I'm really kind of too checked for that. But that's him. And he's saying that he's proud. Yeah, proud to be, you know, to come from Pakistan, Muslim and the rest of it. But colour just bypassed that year. Left-handed batsman made his announcement at Sydney Cricket Ground on Thursday. It was said to be an emotional 50-minute news conference attended by his wife, two daughters and his parents. So his family did there. Referring to the beginning of the series where he played golf the day before the first test and subsequently suffered back spasms in Perth, Khawaja said he was criticized because he's treated differently. Well, you know, you are going to be treated differently because the colour of your skin or your ethnicity. Yeah, the way the media and the past players came out and attacked him. He said that he could have coped it for 2 days, but, you know, cop for it for about 5 days straight, he said. The way everyone came at me about his preparation was quite personal in terms he's not committed to the team. He was only worried about himself. He played his golf the day before. He's selfish. He doesn't train hard enough. He doesn't train the day before the game. He's lazy. That's what, you know, people were saying about him. There are the same stereotypes, racial stereotypes, he's grown up with the whole of his life. I just thought the media and the old players and everyone else had moved past them. But, you know, they obviously haven't. I mean, yeah, them days there, they ain't going to go away. You know, because of your ethnicity, you know, you're always going to be, you know, public enemy number one. You know, racial stereotypes, you know, are gonna be there, you know, for a long time. Like I said, you know, you're not gonna get past things like that. You know, stereotypes. I suppose it's people with, you know, racial stereotype. Often, you know, people have untrue beliefs, or they make assumptions about them, about people, particular group, based on their ethnicity. You know, people will say, you know, based on their race. There's only one race, and that's, you know, human race, you know. But society makes sure, say, certain people stand out above other ones. So they put people into different categories, you know, which is bang on to harder. Yeah. Social constructions. It's not a natural or biological, but are shaped by social, hysterical and cultural influences, including media, family and peers. Like I say, it's going to be ongoing. Who does it affect? Well, seemingly positive stereotypes, assuming a certain group is good, say, at sports, can be damaging, you know, leading to under pressures, several pressures, limitations, opportunities, you know, which can have an effect on the individual, you know. So, yeah, you know, people can be vicious, racial stereotypes, due to, you know, a complex mixture of psychological, learned social behaviours, yeah. These people aren't kind of born that way, yeah. That's where I'm going with that. You know, you're not born a racist. You know what I mean? You learn them behaviours from your peers, from family, from media, and I suppose everybody, you know, can take a stance. You're never going to stop it. You can minimise it. And where I'm going with that is the penalties. You know, if you're caught or founded or, you know, someone grasp on you, you know, they need to be looked into, and it can have severe consequences. And social systems also as well play a massive part in it. Historically, currently, reinforces these beliefs. These stereotypes often serve to justify existing power structures, yeah, and inadequacies, you know. But yeah, you know, Friday 2nd, I listened to Sweet Talking Sport. It's just me, one Yasso. Message for G and CV. Yaffe report for duty, you know, and make sure you're there next week. Yeah? That's what I'm saying about them two dudes there.
Yeah.
Gonna go into tennis now. Yeah, why not? I'm not gonna talk about the Kyrgios pantomime. I did watch it. I thought it was kind of entertaining. I didn't tune in just for that. You know, I was kind of like, you know, flicking through channels. And it said, oh, this is on next, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, yeah, I've discussed this on the show. So why not? You know, I'll take a little look. And entertaining, yeah, it was just that, entertaining. If you didn't watch it, you didn't miss nothing, yeah? So don't worry your foreign self, or your foreign mind, I should say. So, yeah, gonna go into something about how to protect sports athletes. Put yourself in that bracket as well, how to protect yourself as well from breaking point, you know? So I'm including everybody and anybody in the pot. I'm not just talking about sports athletes. I'm talking about everybody. Look after oneself, you know? Talking about Diarra. 25 seasons short in October. The former world number 8 described how she had hit a wall. What does that mean when you hit a wall? She talks about schedule, being too much, you know, mentally and emotionally. I'd put physical in there also too. Basically, she said, I'm at breaking point, and she's not alone as well. And like I said, I make this clear, I'm not just talking about sports athletes, professionals. I'm talking about everybody, you know, for one reason or another, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, yeah? Ukraine, Alina, a two-time Wimbledon semi-final, had already announced that she's not in the best mental space to continue while regaining a Grand Slam championship. Carlos Alcaraz believe that the calendar is too long, you know, so the demands on athletes. And how many times have we heard this in football too? So like I said, I'm putting everybody in the pot. I'm not just talking about tennis players, even though this topic is about tennis, but everybody is in the pot. You know, I'm going to continue this to be debated as the world's leading tennis players in Australia for the start of the 2026 season. A slightly longer off season than 25 has been welcome. Nevertheless, several weeks is not seemed as enough time for proper recuperation before the preparation begins an 11-month campaign regarded as among the most onerous in professional sport. You know, so who are making these demands? You know, because obviously the people at the top of the food chain, they make sure their pockets are tick. Yeah? And it's, you know, and the people who are actually doing their sport or their profession, they're the ones who are suffering. Yes, people say that they get Willy Pacan and stuff and they should be able to do this and should be able to do that. Well, as a human being, you can only stretch so far, you know. Your tolerance level can only go so far, yeah. So the demands of tennis, like I said, I'm putting everybody in the pot, not just tennis, but, you know, anybody, this, you can apply this to a situation. The demands are harder than ever before. A medical doctor, director of the Professional Tennis Players Association, PTPA, co-founded by Djokovic, said matches and rallies are longer, plays are faster, they're hitting the ball harder. They owe it to our players to protect them and give them a more sustainable sport. So what's being done about it? What steps could people take? Well, obviously, a shorter season, you know, or they can have a breakthrough. Yeah, people can say, you know, tennis players, they can break out of it. Of course they can. Women's season finished 2 weeks earlier when the WTA Tour Finals concluded on 8th of November. The ITF moved Billie Jean King Cup Finals forward to September to help combat scheduling concerns. So, yeah, things can be done about this too. Sticking with tennis, 1836, I'm going to move it along a little bit quicker to get stuff in. Venus Williams is set to become the oldest female player to compete in the Australian Open. Main draw at age, hear this, 45. Yeah? The seven-time Grand Slam champion has received the final women's wild card of the tournament, which begins on 18th of Jan. I'm going to break it down, yeah? What is a wild card? Wild card. Let me kind of like deal with this. So the wild card is a special invitation from tournament organisers allowing a player direct entry into the main draw or qualifiers, bypassing standards, rankings or qualifying requirements, often given such as a crowd pleaser, a bligh. So basically, yeah, if you're a crowd pleaser, big name smaddy, yeah, you might get a wild card and you might just get a bligh. I mean, if you look at Venus as well, I mean, she's kind of like had her fair share of kind of like injuries as well, you know. She's got this chronic disorder where immune system is attacked by moisture producing glands, causing several dry eyes, gritty burning and dry mouth, sticky difficult swallowing, along with extreme fatigue, pain in her joints, and you know, it can be quite stressful also as well, due to combination of intense physical and psychological stresses. So like I said, just dipping in to what I've said before about the stressors, about protecting people, also protecting yourself too. Capacity to recover and adapt, primary express of breakdowns, physical injuries and mental health issues like burnout. That's what we're talking about. Overtraining, high intensity competitions, you know, if you relate that to football, fixtures, cups, do you know what I mean? They've got to train also as well. Poor techniques. You know, if you've got a strain on your body parts, injuries, illness also as well, your technique will suffer. Inadequately recovery. Lack of nutrition, dehydration, you know. It's like when I work out after every sit, I'm, you know, make sure I drink my water. You know, get dehydrated, you just get mashed up. Lack of sleep, massive, absolutely gigantic, that one. Lack of sleep, physical trauma, like I said about the injuries, ACL, anterior cruciate ligaments, you know, it could be a sprain, tissue rupture, tear, you know, tear of the thigh bone, the femur to your shin bone, which will be tibia, yeah, obviously, in the knee. So, like I said, I mean, good luck to Venus 45. We'll be looking out for that with the wild card, you know. So that's going to be quite an interesting one. I want to focus. Liam Rossini is the leading candidate, you know, to take over the Chelsea's job, just 18 months after being sacked by Championship side Hull City. I don't think he should have got sacked. I think his record was quite decent at Hull City, but he went to Strasbourg after that, which is, you could say, Chelsea's sister club. So, you know, there's quite a few decent young players there, what I presume will come over to Chelsea. Rossini, the 41-year-old Englishman, has impressed with the French League One club, Strasbourg, who are also part of Chelsea, like I said, owner of the Blue Co group, leading to the chance to move across to the Londoners. There's a pathway there for the players to come true. He would take over from Maresco, who won, what did he win? He won the World Club World Cup in summer, but became the latest Blues boss to fall out with the hierarchy and left on Thursday. They will get someone in, without a doubt. Chelsea, big project, big club, big monies, yeah? If appointed, Rossini would be the fourth out of the past five Chelsea managers to have managed in the Championship. He took his pre-match news conference, as usual, before the Strasbourg game against Nice on Saturday. You know, Nice, because that's his job. Basically, he said he didn't want to discuss the Chelsea's job. He's going to chat about Nice because that's his job. That's his present job. There are a lot of noise, speculation, because he's pulling up trees, Rossini in France. Good coach. Like I said, never should have dropped out of the Hull City job. Didn't want to guarantee how long he'd be here, but enjoy myself here every day. I love this club, but I can't guarantee anything. Nobody can. Can't even guarantee life. Yeah, I could say I'm going to stay here for years, then get fired. So true. About having contact with Chelsea, he said, there are discussions because we're part of the same group. Rossini, would he get the Chelsea job? I think it's possible. Probably lasts about 18 months. But you wouldn't decline the job. You know, I mean, his dad is Leroy Rossini, for those who can remember. And just for the record, only two black managers in top flight football. That's Nuno Espirito, Forest, Darren Moore, Port Vale, League Two. Yeah? And that's out of what? About 92 pro clubs, two black managers. Could Rossini add to them stats? Yeah? That's kind of like... that's very interesting indeed. You know, do you think Rossini has got what it takes? One of Rossini's most striking achievements with Strasbourg has been guiding them into the top riches of League One while fielding a team of youngsters, something which would stand him in good stead with Chelsea. But people say you don't win anything with youngsters. I think you've got to mix and blend. Yeah? Let the old heads have that calm influence. Let the younger ones do the running. Yeah? The average age of the Blues lineup in the Premier League last season was 24. years and 36 days. The lowest of any team across Premiership League campaign. The oldest player is Adebayo, 28. And earlier this season, they became the first team to have three teenagers on the score sheet in the Championship League game. Meanwhile, in August, Strasbourg became the first club in Europe, top five leagues, to play a team of players all born in 2000 and had an average age of 20 years and 283 days for a League One game against Monaco. The oldest player, Wallace, was 22. Former England left-back Chigwell joined Strasbourg. I never knew that he was there from Chelsea in the summer. That's not bad going, that. That's not bad at all. So, listen out, Rossinia. He just might be there. Going to go into the Championship now. We'll start off with the Blades. Currently 15th in the league. And I'm going to remind the captain out there. Yeah, going to remind him that a couple of months ago, he was kind of gloating, yeah, and saying, you know, watch the gap and all that kind of business. Captain Mo Wallace, don't bother disrespect. Yes. Put them in at the fire, yes. Captain Wallace. Yes, just a nice little tune from my friend there, Captain Mo. Nobody disrespect the line, because a couple of months ago, like I say, we're bossing his dub plate about watch the gap. Well, we are watch it on you. He say, yeah, come, but, you know, wait there now. Still in at the same place. Can't even buy a win at the moment. Can't even win at home at the moment. But, you know, hold on. Have little respect for the Wednesday at them. They might stick with them team. And in fact, I actually had a little chat with Pedestrian and bumped into him in Decathlon. I was looking to pick up, a weight training belt and that. And him, I look for some trainers. Must say, I look for kickball too. You know what I mean? But yeah, I just had a couple of words with him and said, you know, me a blade and all them kind of something then. We had shared a little joke. But good little chats. Human being as well. Yeah, he might not manage the team I like, but so what? Human being, have to respect that, you know? Chef United, 15th against Oxford, 23rd. Chef United are currently monitoring Willie Bolly from Forest. I think Bolly's a centre-half. Also, Sunderland, Diarra, midfield player. And Tawanda, a right winger, who's at Wolves as well. So it's obvious where Wilder sees, squad kind of an extra defender, an extra body in there, a midfielder, and also a winger as well. I think we could do with a winger who can play with both feet, actually. I think United have, you know, the last winger I thought was decent was the guy from Palace, Ratsaki. I thought, you know, his stats was dangerous. People said, oh, he's inconsistent, he's only a young kid. But how many goals did he score then? How many goals did the guys score top of the pitch then? I kind of like Ratsaki. I think it was a live wire. Sometimes he had a mistake in him, but only a young kid, and you're not going to do something like that deliberate, are you? You know, so I think Gaffy, give him some space, you know, because how is he going to learn? If you're not making these mistakes, where are you going to learn from? Do you know what I mean? You might do a turn and you might turn into a defender. But if you'd have gone the other way, you turn into space. You know, these are split-second impulsive kind of like movements. But, you know, to minimise that, yeah, you have to just have a little bit more quality upon the ball. That's what I'd say from that. But Sheffield United, yeah, they're steaming up at the moment. And people will say, but they've got that mistake in them still. You know, Wrexham got battered 5-3, winning 3-1. You could say that the pile up of fixtures, Fatigue, play suffering, you know, physical substitutions and stuff. So, like I said, you know, that making my point earlier on is not just in tennis, but football as well. They've been crying out for, you know, the pile up of fixtures. I mean, three fixtures in a week. You know what I mean? It's kind of heavy going, that. But nevertheless, I think people might say, yeah, this fixture's come at the right time. We'll take on Oxford. But don't make that mistake and chalking up 3 points straight away. You know, yeah, you are where you are. I mean, who would have thought Norwich City would be down there? There's some, you know, could you say that the big clubs down there, Norwich and Sheffield Wednesday, have they been badly run? Portsmouth also as well, lurking down there. But Sunday's kickoff. I've got to go for a home win. Could you see three goals scored on Sunday? Yeah, I can actually. I can. And it could be the same kind of scoreline as what it were the other night. But Blades, yeah, they're doing quite well. Not gonna discuss the playoffs at this stage. They're only 8 points adrift of that. But we ain't going to go there. We ain't going to talk about playoffs at this point. But if Sheffield United was to win and lay the luck on their way, they'd be on 35 points. They'd move up a couple of places to 13. Just over half of the season. Can they get there in the top six? Well, of course they can. What teams would you think will probably dip out of that? Well, I think Preston may slip. Hull City, I think, may slip also as well, to be replaced by Sheffield United and maybe Bristol City. Bristol City are looking to receive some big bucks. Because if City buy that Semedo for how much million, Bristol City may be looking about 10 mil from that player, that payout. You know, listen to Sweet Talking Sport on Friday the 2nd of January. It's 18:53, running out of time. So, yeah, like I said, home win for Sheffield United 3-1. Why not? In fact, Henrik Tex's Owls team battered and bruised to QPR. QPR, respectively, 12th in the league. Sheffield Wednesday are at the bottom. It's going to be a tough travel there for the fans and the players. Henrik has not been given permission to sign any players. He sent out an olive branch to the Professional Footballers Association and said, listen, we need to sign some bodies in here. And they said, listen, we gear blind already, have to suffer. You know what I mean? You know, suffer without the ball, suffer on the pitch, suffer off the pitch. You know what I mean? And yeah, there's it could have a devastating effect as well if they don't, you know, get the right kind of money to San Shiri and pay him off, because they could be looking at a 15-point deduction. I think Wednesday are hoping that they get that deduction this season. Yeah? But, well, this, if they get that 15-point deduction in League One, there might be talks of League Two. You know what I mean? But we ain't going to go there. You know, it's the start of the year. Let's just have a peaceful chat, you could say. Yeah? And if I've upset anybody out there, any Wednesday fans over, you know, over the past 12 months, I don't make no apology for that. Especially to the captain. QPR. I can't see QPR surrendering 3 points at Loftus Road. It will take QPR up to 38. A step closer near the playoffs is where they want to be. So I'm going to go for a home win. And maybe Wednesday could even suffer with this one as well. The new year spirits will probably be down. They could get dealt with three goals. You know, 3-0 QPR, 3 Sheffield Wednesday 0. I can't see Wednesday getting anything from Dan London, really. You know, and it's tough for them. You know, like I said, Henrik contacted the PFA to attempt to get some relief from their current transfer restrictions. And a PFA said, or they said, no, not having it, because we've given you a bligh already. You know, so, yeah, the first show of the new year. Yeah, and just a little bit different, you know. If you've missed it, you can catch it up on, you can go into the archives and listen to this show or to any other show you want to listen to. Broadcast every Friday, 6 till 7. You can catch me on here. And normally, you know, we get the man called Gene and CV who don't present at the moment, but they've been summons to the studio next week. Hopefully we'll be back in full force. But I hope if you've been listening, you've enjoyed this show and also the topics and stuff, and maybe it creates a little bit debate where you are, you know. Will Rossini become the next Chelsea's manager? And if he does, I reckon I give him 18 months and then he'll be out of there, because they're never satisfied. Do you know what I mean? And he probably might. I think this is how it might play out. Rossini gets invited, deals with Chelsea, or do they want a bigger presence? Yeah? Easy option. Slide him over. Increases cash until they decide. So, yeah, I think Rossini could hold the reins there quite easy for 18 months. And when he gets relieved of his duties, he'll probably go back to France. Yeah? And take up his appointment at Strasbourg, which the watchers had already. I'm going to just play you out now. Sweet Talking Sport, Friday 2nd. Hope you've been listening.
Remember when we run the last joke and have the last laugh? Even though we grow up, we have smoke and we have flask off. Never know, said, survive, they would have blast off. To all my best dog, we have to keep my glass off. Here's some man at our top. Say it happened late night before dark pass. Same time we get now.
What am I talking about? Them turn my lights off just like a light switch.
Let me have to get a big split.